rocks. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what you used to listen to going into the wrestling ring.
Oh yeah. Ours was always Cowboys from Hell. We always did Pantera. Oh, yeah. That's what we always came out to.
That's a good one, man.
Yep.
It's hard to beat.
I always was so worried. It's so funny you brought this up, man. I just had a huge blast from the past. Remember, you know, at home meets, you'd always bust through the banner, right? Did you guys do that?
We used to do it in football, not wrestling, though.
So wrestling, we would, our cheerleader, each week or each time we had a home, you know, a home tournament, the cheerleaders would make a banner that we'd bust through. But we always did by weight. So we always started with our little, you know, ultralight, the tiniest guy on the team. And there were so many times I'm like, God, that thing, he's just going to get slingshotted back into us. There's no way. He's 98 pounds soaking wet. And you want him to rip through this paper? He can't do it.
He can't do it. How embarrassing would that be?
Luckily, he always got through. But there were so many times like I want to get him like a shank or a shiv just to cut through so he'd be fine. But just watch him get launched back into us because he couldn't get through the paper. Because that was thick paper, man.
Man.
But yeah,
would they call your name through like the tunnel or anything like that?
Nope. It would just be, you know, and now it's your Mount Hope Wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And then we'd come out and Pantera's from Cowboys from Hell would come on and we'd do the couple laps around and then we'd
around the old mat and you start slapping your head and you're slapping your face, getting yourself ready.
And then you'd partner up and then you do a couple quick drills, get yourself warmed up, ready to go. God, I'm winded just talking about it right now.
So I never wrestled in high school, but middle school when I did, we always had this kid who was like, he'd like always get himself so jacked up, and he'd walk around the mat, like slapping himself, slapping his face, grunt, and he'd slap himself and slap his chest. Then he'd go like wrestle somebody real quick to like, and then he'd go in there and he'd like get pinned immediately.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
It's like he was like the hardest dude outside of the circle. You get in, dude, and he was just like, just the softy.
I never liked getting too amped up. I'd always kind of try and stay centered. Because yeah, you don't want to be that guy that's like, yeah, like chewing on glass or, you know, spitting fireballs and then you go get pinned right away. So
dude, we had this one kid, we called him Brownie. And it was hilarious, dude. He was a heavyweight and he wasn't he was the nicest kid I've ever met in my life. Yeah. Seriously. I love the kid to death. But he thought he won a match one time. And it came to the end. He was all pumped up. I won. And then they raised the other guy's hand. Dude, he immediately grabbed his shoulder. My shoulder hurt. And he like fell down like he got injured. And we're all like, no, you were just cheering for yourself. You thought you won. Dude, it was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's a decent recovery.
Wait, the other guy won? My shoulder.
Always hated our heavyweights. You know why? Because they got to eat. I was literally starving because I had to make weight. I wrestled 140. I played football. My football weight was 160. All right. Wrestling season right after I had to cut down to 140. I was miserable. And then you'd have those, your heavyweights that are there shoving Twinkies and whatever else in their face before a tournament. Must be nice.
We always had the kid who was like 190 naturally, and then he'd wrestle at 130. Dude.
Yeah.
And
he was
so dehydrated and just. I'm like, dude, why don't you just wrestle at your natural weight? You're going to feel healthy.
Dude, I cheated.
You're not going to go in there lethargic. You know, I never understood that.
I cheated on every single hydration test ever. Ever. It's unbelievable. You know how I did it? I took a little bottle with a pinhole in the top, and I had that in my pants. And so you went to go pee, and you just psh, 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 couple squirts of that.
Oh,
inside.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Dude, I was always. I had to cut so much weight. It was ridiculous.
God. It's a good thing you're alive.
Yeah,
There's people walking around with spit cups. Remember that? You'd spit in the cup all day just to lose a pound or something.
It was awful.
Salt bass.
It was awful, man. So, anyway. Hey, that was a fun walk down memory lane. We got to get to those. It's time for your rock news and rock history. Way off topic.
Here's your Plan B Morning Show Rock News with Brock and Hunter.
As always, your rock news and rock history brought to you by Honor Credit Union. Honor Credit Union.
Come be part of it.
Well, Guns N' Roses have joined the world of pinball. Slash teamed up with Jersey Jack Pinball to design the Not In This Lifetime pinball game, which is on sale now through the company's website. There's three editions running in the price from $6,750
to pinball's not cheap.
$12,500. Yep. Slash recorded guitar riffs, music, voice tracks, and video for the new game, and design some gameplay moves. You can watch the trailer for the games on YouTube now. I'd love to have that in the studio, but I don't think it's in the budget. I don't think it's in the budget. So,
dude, you know what? It's awesome though. I'll tell you what. I don't know from firsthand on Guns N' Roses, but I do with Iron Maiden.
Yeah, they got a good one. Yep.
Yeah, it is. It's riffs from the actual songs. It's voice clips. It's pretty cool how intricate these pinball machines get. We really got into pinball a few years ago, and my buddy still is. He loves it. And, once you find out, you're like, yeah, let's buy one.
Yep.
Wait a second, they're like 12 Gs for these
things? Yeah, even used ones. You're like, wait, how much for that? And I got to move it? It weighs how? Okay.
Yeah, it's big, right?
But like I said, you can check that out. And if you do got the extra change hanging around, add it to the man cave. All right, there you go. That's your rock news. Let's do your rock history.
On this day in rock history.
On this day, 1951, singer Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon was born in Evanston, Illinois. Not too far from here.
There you go. There you go.
Wait, what do you call it, Hunter?
No, it's REO Speedwagon, moron. It's REO Speedwagon.
You take it on a run, baby.
They came and played here locally years back.
Nice. I actually saw them in Chicago. It was Journey, REO Speedwagon, and Styx. I'll be honest.
It's exactly who was here.
That's who was here. Yeah.
Same tour.
It was in Milwaukee is where I saw it, and I took a date. Her name was Jen. She was a redhead. I drove my Charger downtown Milwaukee, and I was... like, oh, my God, my car's going to get ruined. And I never should have brought it down here, man. We had a great time at the show, though. We had a great time at the show. After the show was better, if you know what I mean. All right, that's your rock news and rock history. Brought to you by Honor Credit Union.
Come be part of it.